today is a psalm that we will read responsively. So Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. May those who sow in tears regain shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with their shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Congregation, please rise. Sit down, because this reading is actually really kind of long. And we've got this spiritual practice that I want to talk just a little bit about also. We've been doing this for the weeks of January, and the spiritual practice is to be silent for a little bit, to meditate, to listen to your breathing, to give you a little space to ready yourself for what you're about to do. Now, we've put it before the gospel reading, but you could do this time of silence, this time of meditation before any activity that you're doing. There was a couple of weeks ago where I was coming into a meeting and I had been running, and not physically running, but very busy, and a lot of things going through my mind. And when we started that meeting, I said, let's start with a time of silence. And we had 30 seconds of silence, and it helped me to refocus, to be ready to listen to what the people needed to say during that time and during that meeting. So at this time, we'll have 30 seconds of meditation or silence before the reading. For today is from the Gospel of Mark, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 1. And Jesus began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the lake, or beside the sea on the land. And he began to teach them many things in parables. And in his teaching he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell into good soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he said, let anyone with ears to hear listen. When he was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And Jesus said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But they have no root and endure only for a little while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. And these are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a bushel basket or under the bed, and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed, nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you. For those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, and because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Any children want to come forward for the children's time? All right. Maybe? Yes? Okay, good. Thank you for being brave. All right. What's coming up? You can come sit down over here. Yeah. All right. Did you guys have a big breakfast today? What did you have?
Cereal.
How many of you had cereal? Okay. How many of you had an apple for breakfast? Any of you had an apple for breakfast? All right. So, apples are good to eat, right? Yeah? There's a story about a guy who thought that everybody should be able to have apples and that there should be lots of apple trees around the country. And so this guy went around giving away apple tree seeds, or seeds, apple seeds, and little seedlings to be able to plant to have apple trees around the country. He spread all of these around so that there'd be lots of apple trees for people to enjoy. Do you know what that guy's name might have been? Have you ever heard of Johnny Appleseed? Have you heard of that? Okay, yeah. So he went around sowing all those seeds so that people could enjoy apples and be happy about those. So he planted seeds in our story today that I just read. Jesus was talking about planting seeds. What kind of seeds can we plant? Do you guys plant any seeds? Do any of you have gardens? Okay. You plant tomatoes? All right. Do you suppose there's some other kind of seeds that we could plant? What would happen if we plant the seed of a smile? Do you suppose that would bear any fruit? Can't plant the smile in the ground, but what if we smile? Do you suppose if we smile at the congregation, we get any smiles back? Should we try that? Okay, everybody look out there and smile. Is that working? look at all those smiles we're getting back because we're smiling at them. That's pretty cool, huh? Do you suppose we can give people high fives? Suppose they give something back too there? Suppose hugs would be a good seed to plant? Yeah, there's lots of different ways. Maybe we could say that you love somebody or that you like their smile or whatever. There's lots of different ways that we can plant seeds of happiness to people around us. So let's say a prayer. Dear Jesus, we give you thanks for these kids. And we give you thanks for their smiles and for the love that they share. Lord, we thank you for apples and your word, that your word may give us the hope that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks for coming up. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. So today I want to start off by talking about farming a little bit. Is there anybody in here who farmed with horses? All right. You farmed with horses. How many horses did it take or did you have? Two horses. Did you get a lot done in a day? How many acres could you do? So you had 60 acres total, but you wouldn't do 60 in a day. No. 5 acres in a day. Okay. So if we go back to that time frame and all the time before that, farming was hard work. You'd have to have your tools, you'd have your animals that you would use to till the soil. And it would take a lot of time, a lot of manual labor. And a lot of times I don't think that the soil was as prepared and as good as it could have been. So fast forward to the day, and it made me think about how we seed wheat today. Because in our parables today, more than likely it was wheat that they were seeding. And so I went online and I looked up a John Deere air seeder. And I think it was an 1870 or an 1876. I don't know if Jared can help me out with that. But anyway, this air seeder was 76 feet wide. So if we put a point over here and remember that, and then we go all the way across the whole front here, and we get all the way over to this point, that's about 76 feet. And so it would do that in one pass. Now, the person in the parable who is sowing the seed would have a little pouch and a little bit of grain and would be throwing it like this, right? So maybe have, at the very most, probably a half a bushel on him. Behind this air seeder, there is a tote that comes behind it that you can hook onto it. And that will hold, if I remember right, 500 bushels of seed plus fertilizer to fertilize the crop as it moves through the field. That's when I was farming with my dad. 500 bushels is bigger than our biggest truck we had when we first started. Huge amount of seed. The other thing that air seeder, and I'm assuming will do, with GPS and its function is that it is able to put down the right amount of seed. So you need to have the right spacing of the seed. You need to have it at the right depth. And if it's at all of those things, at the right depth, the right seed, or the right placement, it's going to give it the most opportunity to yield the very best that it can. Gives it the most opportunity to yield the best that it can. And so when we think about that guy that's out sowing the seed, how many of those seeds fall in places that it shouldn't fall? Is it at the right depth? Is it right by the right fertilizer? The GPS would allow you to put more seed in the good spots, more fertilizer in the good spots, so you really get what you need. But this sower is just out there throwing it around. If we go to look at your bulletin front cover, and also on the screen right now, we see a picture or a rendition of this parable. What's the guy walking through? Can you tell what that is?
Weeds.
What?
Weeds.
He's walking through weeds? It could be weeds. What I think it is birds. They have all covered the ground. I think it looks like birds. I could be wrong. But if that ground is covered with birds, how much of that seed is being picked up by something that it shouldn't be? How much is getting in the ground? Not very much, yet the sower is out there sowing that seed abundantly. Seems a bit crazy, right? To be throwing that much seed just for the birds to be able to gobble it up. I believe that Jesus calls us to throw his seed, to throw his word out abundantly, because we never know where it might land and where it might be needed. So when I first looked at this text that I had to preach on today, or get to preach on today, I thought, oh, this will be fairly easy, you know, the story of the sower and the seeds, you know, and we've got so many parables here, this will be an easy sermon to deal with. But then we start trying to understand it, and I find this line a little bit interesting, but also a bit troubling and challenging. So in verse 11, Jesus says to the disciples, or to the people around, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, that they may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." Seems a bit strange that these things are in secret, these things are hidden, that some people might not understand. Those who are on the inside are going to understand, but those on the outside aren't going to understand. And then we look at this text, and who should be the ones that are the most inside group following Jesus around? The disciples. And the disciples are the ones who don't get it. The disciples aren't understanding what the parable is about. And they question him as to what the meaning of it is. Again, as we look at the parable and we look at the soil, it's about how that seed or that word hits us. There are times where we don't hear the word, where the word is not heard, and we're like the hard path. There are times where we are like the rocky ground. There are times when that seed is thrown among the weeds and it gets choked out. So the question becomes is, what makes us good soil? Question becomes is it us that can change whether we're good soil or not? Can we go from being rocky soil to being good soil? Where does that transition come? Because if I look at this reading, it would appear that the disciples aren't getting it at this point. They would be that rocky path, or that path that the word's not really hitting. They're not getting it. If we fast forward into the future, after the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, they get it. They begin to understand it, and the Spirit allows them to be able to understand the words Jesus had spoken to them. There comes a time when their heart, their minds, their lives are ready to hear the word. We go to verse 26 and that parable about the person who plants the seed in the ground And it starts growing, goes to bed, gets up in the morning, day after day, and that seed grows. Doesn't really know how or why it grows, but eventually it grows to the point where it's time for harvest. And when it's time for harvest, it's ripe, he goes out to harvest it. And the fruit of that seed is then known. Makes me wonder if there are times in our lives where the situation is growing to the point where eventually we become ripe. We become fit for the harvest, where the word that had been sown finally makes sense for us, finally allows us to be able to understand what God is trying to do in our lives. It was true for the disciples. It was true for the people who were listening to Jesus, and I believe it's true for us today. Each of us has something different in our life that is that we're dealing with today. For some, it may be a situation or something that we're doing that God is telling us that we need to stop, that we need to turn. It may be that we are in need of understanding God's forgiveness. It may be that we need to really understand that that forgiveness is for us. It may be that we need to hear a word of hope today, that God is with us and that God loves us. Each of us need to be able to hear something different. Each of us, I think, has a place in our life today where we are ready to hear the word. But that word may be a different word for each of us. If we go back to that sower in the picture, who's throwing it out, to me it says that we should never quit throwing God's seed, God's word out there. We need to throw it abundantly. We need to share it with those who are around us. We need to share it whenever we can, because we don't know what's going on in each of our lives. And the word that we share, the word that we speak, may be the word that needed to be heard at that particular time. So share God's word abundantly, even if it seems like the birds are the ones that are eating it up. Share God's word of hope. Share God's word of forgiveness. Share God's word of courage.